This new temporary timetable by ScotRail is just more than an inconvenience, really, for passengers across the country, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I've spoken to passengers this morning that have simply not been able to make work commitments because they've gone to the station to get on a train that just doesn't exist anymore.
It's not even just the morning commute, is it? We're also talking about the effect this is going to have on the nighttime economy and just generally during the day as well.
Yeah, there's a huge package of effects. I mean, I suppose primarily you're thinking about workers who can't get to work on time and the effect it has on them. But there is also a fear that it's going to have a huge effect on the nighttime economy when people can't make it back from the theatre or from gigs or from going for dinner. There's also serious fears for football fans heading to the Scotland-Ukraine game. Whether it's going to affect the Open in St Andrews this summer, there's a huge range of potential effects on this temporary timetable.
How big could the economic hit end up being Scotland-wide? Because, I mean, what you've just painted the picture of is a series of events which, no doubt, the temporary timetable is going to affect many people's original journey plans.
Well, it's hard to say. I'm not an economist, so I can't give you the calculations of what the effect is. But when you speak to people who are telling you the things they may no longer be able to attend and the effect there, you can kind of get a feeling for just how big the potential impact could be. On the other hand, ScotRail have said that the current temporary timetable may not last into the summer in the same fashion that it is just now. So there is a chance there will be more services put on for those particular key high-profile events.
And I imagine everyone will just want Aslef and ScotRail to resolve this ongoing dispute.
Yeah, very much. The message from everyone is sort it out. What I haven't heard yet is a huge amount of anger directed at the drivers. To date just now, the onus seems to be on ScotRail and the managers there to sort out this mess before it gets any worse.
Now that ScotRail's been nationalised, can government do things that they couldn't do before to try and help resolve this dispute?
Well, one would think so and one would hope so. However, nationalisation, we're not long into the nationalisation process, and this dispute has happened mere months after that process went through.
The nationalisation didn't happen so long ago. This is, a sober realisation by the Scottish Government that just because ScotRail is now in public hands, it doesn't mean that the problems we had before will be resolved very easily. I mean, clearly there's a lot of big challenges that they're going to have to overcome, and it's not straightforward really for them.
It's not straightforward. There are huge challenges on the railways. The railways in Scotland lose a lot of money every year. You hit that with the additional challenge that certain services are still very quiet because of COVID, and other services are still very oversubscribed because they're the most popular ones. It's a huge, huge challenge and a very difficult thing to manage.
We're in an era now where climate change is obviously a big deal, and we had COP26 last year, and there's this, I suppose, this general encouragement towards passengers to ditch their cars and go into public transport so that they can reduce their carbon footprint, etc. But how damaging will this episode be in terms of making people think long-term, saying to themselves, do you know what? I don't want to burden myself having to jump onto the train, so I might as well just use my car long-term to commute or even just go for leisure rather than take the train.
Yeah, well, the message there is very clear. I mean, to hit our climate change targets, people are going to have to drive less. The Scottish Government has a target, I think, to reduce the numbers of kilometres driven by around a fifth. Now, that is all well and good saying that, but you need to provide reliable alternatives. And this problem with the trains will lead to a lot of people thinking, well, if I can't make my appointments and my commitments with the train, then I'm going to have to resort to the car. So it will be damaging to that message and that goal that the Scottish Government has.
If this dispute is resolved sooner rather than later, is there hope that they can move beyond this and resolve some of the bigger challenges?
Of course. There is always hope, and there always should be hope. As we said before, the nationalisation process is only a few months old, so we would hope for brighter and better things ahead, but certainly just now things are not looking particularly positive.
Yeah, and one last point that's come to mind. I know this is not within DC Thompson's geographical remit, but there is the reopening of Reston train station in the Borders. So it's the first time they've had a train station there since the 60s. So clearly, you know, there is still that desire among Scots to have railway services and railway services as local as possible.
Yeah, very much so. In Fife, we've also got the station at Leavenmouth. People want local rail, they want reliable rail, they want affordable rail, but unfortunately that's not what they have at the moment.
Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, grand, thank you.